to Lectionary Lunch from the beautiful campus of Concordia Seminary. And we are looking at Genesis 12, 1-9, which is the Old Testament lesson for Lent 2, Series A. And perhaps the context would help out. If we look at 11:30, which is a striking verse, and it really helps us understand what's going on here. So it says that Sarai was Akara, Ein Lav Alad. So we have someone looking at the Septuagint in the room, and my hunch is that the Septuagintal rendering of Akara would be Stera.
Yep.
Sterile, see, barren, unable to have children. And so the matriarchs are all Akara, not only Sarai here, but Rebecca at one point is Akara, and so is Rachel. Hannah is Akara. In Luke 1:7, Elizabeth is Stera. So it gives us the impression that when Yahweh is going to launch something rather big, sometimes he begins with a barren woman. And this is exactly what is happening here as we then go into chapter 12, verse 1. Yahweh starts with nothing. In terms of a Lenten spin or homily on Genesis 12, I think that would be an important point. Because finally the proclaimer is trying to get to the cross, and there's the absolute nothing. The Carmen Christi of Philippians 2, who made himself nothing, being obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So there would be some real nice theology of the cross links between the great thing Yahweh's doing here and the greater thing he will do in Jesus of Nazareth. And both begin with nothing. So in 12:1, Vayomer Yahweh El Avram, he'll be called Abraham in chapter 17 of the book. Here he's just exalted father, Av and Rum, a noun and a verb. Avram would be father of many. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha, this would be an imperative of Halak, functioning like a first yod, first vav, and then the so-called ethical dative. So it's a walk, literally, you. Now, lech lecha, that actual form of the imperative, call imperative, masculine, singular of halak, followed like by lecha, only appears one other time in the Hebrew Bible. So turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 12 is the first time Yahweh spoke to Avram. Genesis 22 is the last time he speaks to Abraham. So his entire life would be framed by this Lech Lecha. And as you look at chapter 22, verse 2, Vayomer Kachna et Bin Ka. So when he said, take your son, beloved one, whom you love, Yitzchak, the Lech Lecha. And it's the only other place where we have Lech Lecha. So, commentators will say that the first Lech Lecha addressed to Avram is to lose his past, and the last one is to lose his future. So the life of faith is a life of loss. And certainly this is what Paul would say in Philippians 3. He finally considers everything as loss in order to have the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and be found in Him. Paul will go on there. So the sermon could very easily, thinking of Lenten themes, talk about loss. Avram's going to lose everything of his past. Then he's called upon to lose everything of his future. So here it goes. May Arzeka, we're back in 12 verse 1, from your land, it's going to start out broad and get narrower, just like what we saw in Genesis 22 verse 2. Your son, well that could be Isaac or Ishmael at that point, I'm referring to chapter 22, your the beloved son whom you love, well, that still could, you know, that's narrowing it down a little bit. But finally, the last definite object marker there, et, in 22:2, Yitzchak. See, so I want you to see that not only do they have lek lecha in common, but both verses start out from the broad and then they narrow down. From your land, okay, sure. And then from your extended family, molad teka. But then it's going to zero in even further, mebet avika. See, from the house of your father. That's the nuclear home, we would almost say. So this is what he's called to leave. And el haaretz asher ar eka. To a land, this would be a hifil of Arah. We know that because of the patak under the preformative aleph, and then the segol between the second aleph and the final kaf. So, which I will cause you to see, literally. So just start walking. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, that would be a nice commentary on some of these events in Genesis 12, that he simply started walking to a land he didn't know about. So he just started walking. A lot of times that's a life of faith. Start walking. See, just get going. Back up and start moving. Where am I going, Lord? That's not the issue. Now we have a sevenfold promise here in 2 and 3. So let's look at that. I will make you into a great nation. Notice the syntax is going to be imperfect vav conjunctive. So I will make you into a great nation, goy gadol, and then another imperfect vav conjunctive, and I will bless you. That's the second promise. Another imperfect vav conjunctive with a so-called pseudo-cohortative, almost functioning like a, maybe infinitive absolute. I will indeed magnify your name. That's the third promise. And now look, we have a vav, and it's not an imperfect, it's a imperative. And every English version I've ever seen gets this wrong. How do I know it's imperative? Short vowel under the hay. That's a schwa. Be a blessing. So in Hebrew, quite often the most emphatic part of a poem or a narrative is placed in the middle. So this is it. I'm to lose everything and leave everything, and in so doing, my life becomes a blessing. So that's the fourth of the sevenfold promise. And now let's look at the syntax in verse 3. Another vav conjunctive, imperfect, actually cohortative here. And I will indeed bless the ones blessing you. That's a PL. Masculine plural participle of Barak. So that's the fifth promise. The sixth promise is, and the one cursing you, now the syntax has been broken, now I have a another peel participle followed by Aleph Resh Resh, which is just a call imperfect first common singular from curse. But the one cursing you, kalaling you in the piel. Kalal in the call just means light. In the piel it means to make someone light or disrespect them, curse them. I will curse. So that's the sixth promise. The seventh promise now is going to have different syntax too. It will be a perfect vav conjunctive from Barak. Now this is a greatly contested nifal perfect third common plural. Because a nifal can either be passive or reflexive. But we have the Septuagint here. The Septuagint is going to translate this as a future passive. All right? And this is the way it comes throughout the New Testament. So say the RSV and New RSV would translate it this way. In you, all the mishpachot, all the families of the dirt, will bless themselves. Now that doesn't sound very monergistic. It sounds pretty synergistic. The best interpretation of this Nephal would be in the Septuagint, the New Testament. So we're going to understand this as a passive. So in you, that is in Avram, all the families of Ha'adamah, which you think, why not Ha'aretz, you know, the earth. Adamah takes us back to Adam, the people connected to the dirt dust guy. Those people, see, they will be blessed in you. So that's the seventh promise. But the most emphatic is the fourth with the imperative. We go on, verse 4. So what does he do? Call a voters meeting, a synodical special symposium. Does he talk it over with anybody? It's stark. Va yelek Avram, kasher deber elav. Abraham halaked. See, he's told to halak in verse 1. Now he halaks, he walks, according as he spoke to him, that is Yahweh. Avram just goes. See? Now, we would want to make sure that we would turn to the end of Joshua to have a little more context of this. He just doesn't leave, you know, his land and his extended family and his Beit Av, the house of his father. Joshua's going to tell us, as we look at verse 3 of Joshua chapter 24, this is Yahweh, you know, speaking. I took your fathers, that would be Avram, I'm sorry, your father Avram, Joshua 24:3, from across the river, that'd be the Euphrates, and I caused him to walk. Isn't that interesting? There's a hifil of halak. See? So the word of promise caused him to walk. Vayo lake. In all the land of Canaan. And I multiplied his seed, and I gave to him Yitzchak. Alright? Well, what was Avram doing before all that? Verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, Ko Amar Yahweh Elohei Yisrael, across the river, your father Abraham dwelled, Me'olam, you know, from long ago, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Abraham Nahor, and here it is, Vaya Avdu Elohim Akarim. They worshipped, they served other gods. So when Avram leaves, he's leaving other gods behind him. And I think that hifil of halak is quite important for the performative power of Yahweh's promises. The promises bring about the life of faith. See? Okay. So, now, then we have, we're in the middle of verse 4. Vayelek oto lot. Oh no. And Lot went with him. This is the major catastrophe in the book of Genesis when it comes to Abraham, at least the initial and first catastrophe. Why did he let Lot go? See, so we can't make Avram out to be some sinless saint. Because Lot would be someone who is connected to this word in verse 1, kind of the extended family. See, he's supposed to leave the extended family. He's supposed to leave people like Lot behind. Because Lot's going to cause all kinds of problems. Okay, I mean, you know, he's going to get drunk, and he's going to commit incest with his daughters, and then we're going to have Moab and Ammon born, and it's just not going to be a pretty picture. Alright, so Avram was a Ben Kames Shanim. He was a son, literally, this is how Hebrew does numbers here, and ages more specifically. A son of 5 years, Beshevim Shana, and 70 year. So he's 75 years old. Call and fin of construct from Yetzah, in his going out, me Karan, from Haran. Verse 5. Avram took Sarai, Ishto, his wife, and of course she's Akarah, and Lot, the son of his brother, and all rekusham. So the main, there is a pronominal suffix, third masculine plural, from and the noun is from rekush, which means kind of movable property. So he took Lot, his wife Sarah, and all his move, all their movable property, which they moved, et hanefesh, and you know, literally life here, which they made inherent. So whatever, you know, their livelihood, what was connected with their life, that's a pretty kind of vague term here in this context. And they went out, Vayetzu la leket arza, Kenaan. So, and they went forth to walk. See, they're still walking. It's the first time we've had a walk in the narrative. And, of course, in the New Testament, especially in Pauline texts, peripateo, say in Ephesians 4, verse 1, a walk worthy of the calling which you've received. So this walking here is more than just journeying. It's a life of faith. And Paul will pick up on that. Our walk, our Christian walk, is a walk much like Avram's walk. Toward the land of Canaan. Now, how he knew he was supposed to go to Canaan, we're never told. There was no star in the east guiding him. And they came, vayavou arza, toward the land of Canaan, toward Canaan. So the first thing that he does, well, now we have, we'll get to the first thing, but we'll get to verse 6 first. So Avram traveled in the land until Makom Shechem, until the place of Shechem. Makom's in construct because they have a shwaner, the mame. The absolute form has a comets. Until Elon Moreh, until the oak of Moreh, the oak of Mamre, normally translated. And Canaanites then were in the land, we're told. So what did Yahweh do? Here's a Niphal of Ra'ah, theophanic language. Yahweh appeared, or he showed himself, to Avram. And he said, Le'zar'eka. So this is huge. See, to your seed. Now, Zera in Hebrew never comes in the plural form. So it can either be to your seed Yitzchak, Isaac, or to your offspring. See, we don't know. It probably means both. I will give et ha'aretz, hazot, this land. So who gets the land? The offspring of Abraham. Who's the offspring of Abraham? We have a Galatians expert in the room who will remind us that those who are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:29, they are Abraham's seed and heirs according to this promise. See, we get the land. Baptized believers get the land. What land do we get? We get the new heaven and the new earth lands. Finally, canonically speaking. So what does he do there? He builds Bana, third hay, loses the hay and the imperfect vav consecutive. He built there a Mizbeach to Yahweh. Yahweh, the one appearing to him. There's a Niphal participle of Ra'ah. So Avram builds altars. Normally when Yitzchak is in the land, he digs wells. Kind of interesting. Avram builds altars. He's ready to sacrifice. Isaac, he's more interested in quenching his thirst. Verse 8. So here we have a kind of an odd, rare verb that means to move out in the hifil here. And he moved out from there towards the mountain, Ha-Hara, Mekedem from the east, Le-Beit-El. And Beit El will have a very important part in the Old Testament, right? House of God. And he pitched. This is first nun, third hay. Doubly weak. A Hebrew verb from hell. Because all you have is the medial tet. And he pitched his tent. And aholo, you wouldn't expect that hay on the end. Normally it's just a vav holom, but it's... orthographic license is what Gazanius Kachkali would call something like this. Yeah, spell it any way they want to. So he pitched his tent at Beth-El, and apparently Miyam, from the west, the Yam there, the Mediterranean Sea, another way to say the west, and Ai from the east. So this is kind of where he pitches his tent, and there he built the altar to Yahweh. Vayikra b'shem Yahweh. So here's the first time he's worshiping Yahweh, and he's left the Elohim Akarim, as we're told in Joshua 24:2. And then the last verse, verse 9. First Nun from Nassau, Avram traveled. And then we have two infinitive absolutes. This is the fifth time we have halak here. Here it's an infinitive absolute. He probably traveled, he walked, and he traveled again, Nassau, infinitive absolute, call infinitive absolutes, toward the Negev. It's amazing what God's promises do to people's lives. People actually walk, see, when God gives them promises. And they go and they do things that they thought they'd never do before. All pointing to the ultimate one who has the promises. And he would do something even more shocking. He wouldn't just walk to Canaan, he would walk the Via Dolorosa to Calvary, and that would be the ultimate performative of Yahweh's word, where his son actually does something that radical. Okay, well, I hope that's enough to get the homiletical juices going. We'll turn it over to our colleague from Nagercoil, India. We flew him in this morning.
So he may walk. Or keep the walk going, yeah?